Alright, we're recording.
Hello! This is what's called a recording, but if you're listening live, then it's still live. And my name is EMH, and I have the pleasure of trying to keep this discussion focused and under control as we movie geeks discuss movies and such. With me, as usual, is Mazer. How are you doing, Mazer?
Doing good.
Mazer, how many... This is podcast number 36, is that correct?
Yep.
How many podcasts have you missed?
Probably one.
Can you believe that? You have great attendance in our podcast.
Well,
hey, why don't you ask me how many podcasts I missed?
Shut up. No one's talking to you right now. No. Bigman, you have perfect attendance, don't you?
I have perfect attendance, yes.
Dr. Bigman has perfect attendance.
One day I will be absent.
No, then we just won't do it. Then we'll just it'll be like protecting the streak. It'll be like when Ted Williams was batting 400 and the coach wanted to bench him the last day of the season so he wouldn't screw up his average. But anyway. Okay, so Venkman, you're here. It's good to have you.
Hey, thank you.
And Abe Froman.
Hello, everybody. How's it going, everybody? Happy Independence Weekend.
Nice.
That would be and the weekend of Independence.
Thank you. Mr. Black, you're there, right?
I am.
That's awesome. It's good to have you with us. And is that everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so.
Yep.
There you go. The dude.
You know, the dude is on a cruise in Greece at the moment, touring the land of the 300 Spartans.
I'm starting to think it's made up. I'm starting to think it's made up. I mean, when he said he was with the military, that was a stretch, but I bought it. And now that he's on the Greek Isles on a cruise, now I'm thinking you're just making it up. You've killed him, and he's buried in your backyard.
Well, he's taken his wife out before he goes to Afghanistan. So, you know, he's got to do that whole thing.
Hey, if astronauts can take time out of their busy schedule to Skype from space, which I saw on the Oprah, then he can definitely take time.
I saw on the Oprah.
He can definitely take time to join us for an hour and a half on this wonderful podcast.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, let's get right to it because we do have, I don't know that we have a whole lot to talk about, but we certainly have a lot to say about the few things that we have to talk about. So let's first talk about the top movies at the box office this weekend. And again, this will be the first time ever in the history of the podcast that we are going to have to wait a little bit longer for final box office numbers to come out before we see who actually won the weekend. So right now, according to boxofficemojo.com, we have a tie for number one. Okay.
Ooh, exciting!
And I'm sure you guys can guess what movie's tied for number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be.
Go ahead.
Drag Me to Hell and Transformers.
Well, no, you're close. You got one right.
You're such a dreamer.
You got one right.
Public Enemies and Transformers.
I'm just hoping, okay? I'm hoping
it would finally Drag Me to Hell. Drag Me to Hell and Terminator Salvation were the number one movies in the country. Okay. enough bad jokes. Everybody knows Ice Age and Transformers 2. Right now, here's what's interesting, okay? Right now, they're both listed at making $42.5 million over the weekend. Now, for me... I don't know. I would have to say that this is a disappointment. Definitely for Transformers, right? That's a disappointing week too, right?
Oh yeah, that's a huge drop.
Oh Neil, I knew it was going to happen. I knew Transformers were going to lose out because of the bad word of mouth. Everyone and their dog went and saw it on, you know, when it opened up. And no one's going to see it for a second time. You know, it's getting bad word of mouth from everybody. And, not everybody. There's a few teenagers out there that love the hell out of that movie. The majority of people are done. They don't want it. It's over. Hey. It's not going to make more next weekend.
Thank you, Venkman. It was a 61% drop from last weekend's 108.5 million. Or was it 109 million? 109 million last weekend. Anyway, at 42.5, 61%, that's a huge drop. And, obviously the budget for the movie was $200 million, and it's already made $293 million domestically. It shouldn't have any trouble getting to $350 million. But honestly, this movie has, in 12 days... made $293 million, and we have to really wonder if it's going to get to $400 million domestically, right?
We do have to wonder, or we don't.
That's a decent question. That's a big drop, and I don't think it's going to... It definitely doesn't have the staying power of Dark Knight.
There you go.
Which means... Oh, yeah. Which means, so far... Star Trek is leading the year, but Up will probably beat it, right?
Well, it's good that you brought that up, because with this weekend's projections, Up actually is slightly ahead of Star Trek, and of course now Transformers is ahead of both of them, because Transformers, of course, with the monster $200 million first 5 days. So as it stands now, Transformers is $293.5 million. Up is at $265 million, and Star Trek, $249. So, you know, we said at the beginning of the year, we said at the beginning of the summer, we said Transformers Up, and most of us went with Harry Potter, but we thought that Star Trek could really, you know, could push. So it doesn't look like, it looks like Harry Potter's going to beat Star Trek, unless something miraculous just happens and that movie just tanks. Right now, I mean, Transformers is impressive. It's impressive. It's profitable. Duh. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. But there are a lot of people that really thought this movie was going to just shoot past $400 million, and obviously this movie's you'd have to say it disappointed fans to some degree because that's a 61% drop. Okay, but here,
it justified like because of the 61% drop.
Right. Yeah, just so you know why I said that, all of you fans out there. Yes, because of the drop. But what surprises me, I thought Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, are they going to look at this as a disappointment? Now, first of all, remember, this is not Pixar, this is not Disney, this is not even DreamWorks Animation. Ice Age is Fox, okay? And Ice Age has been their big franchise. I was shocked, again, looking at boxofficemojo.com, the budget for Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs is only $90 million. So the fact that they're able to make such a profit is pretty cool. I guess I'm just surprised at the $42.5 million number for the weekend. Now, remember, it came out on Wednesday, and it did have a good couple of days. So estimated total gross from Wednesday is $67.5 million. Impressive. But
doesn't it feel like they didn't have as big of a hype machine for Ice Age this last one? They had a bigger one for the one before it. Like I don't see it everywhere as much as I did the last one, Ice Age 2.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think my theory is Ice Age itself was a surprise hit. I mean, obviously people thought it was going to be a good movie and make money, but I think the success of the original was a big surprise. And then the second one, they said, okay, this is the sequel. Let's really push it and rake in as much as we can. The third one, I don't know. it surprises me. It's almost like they scaled back. Let's do a less is more kind of a thing and just hope that the franchise has a big enough following to kind of sell itself.
I think they may have more is more. You know?
I don't know about this whole
less is more. I think more is more.
Well, clearly Transformers believes in the more.
I don't know how
we
all got mixed up with the less is more. Because that just doesn't make any sense. Sorry, I'm just making an observation.
Well, even with a movie like, say, Hangover, that it feels like this really surprise hit, but they put that stuff everywhere, and they had that cast because there was no big star in it. They had that cast going around to each college promoting that film. It just wasn't, there's just no big star.
Are we talking about Hangover again? Because I went soft for a second time this week.
How was it the second time?
I went on a Wednesday night, all right? And that theater was full. It was full.
Yeah.
It was a sold-out show on a Wednesday night. I was shocked. But anyway, surprised that didn't tie up with Ice Age and Transformers 2.
Droy Mac in the chat saying it's not as funny the second time around. You know what? I don't believe you, Droy Mac. Oh, well.
I'm sorry, dude. I haven't seen it the first time around, but you got to be full
you
of it because
seen it?
You don't have a comedy make $204 million if people don't go back and see it a second time. And no, I still haven't seen it. So, I gotta be honest though. It's every weekend I'm like, please let this be the weekend I see The Hangover, and then next thing you know, my weekend's gone. So. It's not in the cards for me right now, but I'm gonna see it eventually.
See it late night on a weekday or something.
Late night on a weekday, that'll work fine. Yeah. I'll plan that up as soon as I can. Ice Age and Transformers. I guess we're gonna find out tomorrow who actually won the weekend. How sad is it? I mean, in all honesty, how sad is it that you can be a movie as big as Transformers and you can't even hold the number one spot for 2 weeks in a row? And again, I guess it's just me bashing on Transformers. Mr. Black, you're usually with me on the Transformers bashing. I haven't heard you talk at all.
I think everybody's heard enough of my Transformers bashing.
Let's hear the bashing. Let the bashing begin. Let loose, my friend.
I think going with the less is more argument that we had up here, there was just nothing.
There was nothing less.
Well, there's nothing in that movie worth watching for me. I'm sorry. I don't care. It's just I'm tired. I'm tired of that movie. I just want it to go away.
So what you're saying, Mr. Black, is more is less. Is that what you're saying?
He thinks less. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I think
maybe I shouldn't speak for you, Mr. Black, but I think yes is the answer to that question.
Well, Venkman brings up a good point. I think they tried
to
put too much in that movie, and it just screwed it up. It's kind of like the X-Men trilogy. Once they got further and further into the trilogy, the worse and worse it got, because they tried to put too much.
Well, I thought the second one was better than the first.
Same. Look, here. I thought we established that the third was great, because Frasier did some major fighting in that one.
Kelsey Grammer is great in that movie.
I love the third movie.
Hickman's favorite. I just did it. So.
Look, I'm just gonna stay out of this. You all know my opinion on the third X-Men movie, and
it was awesome. That was my opinion. All right. Okay. Sorry. Moving on. We're gonna find out tomorrow, I guess, if Ice Age or Transformers won the weekend. So here's me rooting for Ice Age. The less is more. Pick of the weekend. Okay, no surprise that Public Enemies came in third. It was not able to top either one of the bigger movies. $26.2 million for Johnny Depp and the Christian Bale flick, directed by none other than... Go ahead, Vinkman.
Oh, would that be Michael Mann?
That would be. You are correct.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, sir.
And so I guess this man. Is...
Please, sir, may I have another?
This is what I do. I go ahead and admit that I haven't seen this movie and just invite you all to give me your thoughts, because I know some of y'all did.
Yeah.
Just know.
I'll say this.
I mean, I thought it was a good movie. I thought the acting was great. I enjoyed the performances. But I could not get into that digital filmmaking thing. It just, I couldn't get pulled into it. It looked fake. It looked cheap. It looked like it was done by, a student filmmaker or something. And I think anyone could have made that movie. Michael Mann just kind of did his thing, but it's, I can't even say it's a Michael, I mean, okay, Michael Mann did it. It's a Michael Mann film, but at the same time, it's like he got so involved with the, because he did a lot of research on the film. Like, he went in and wanted to get to the heads of these guys and what they were like. And I think he lost himself in that. I think he lost himself in that while making the movie, and it ended up being, you know, really long, drawn out at certain times. And I don't know. The other say, I wasn't pulled into the movie. I couldn't get into it. I wasn't engulfed by it. So that's me. What did you guys think?
It's kind of weird. Didn't it feel like they didn't, like, some of the stuff they dwelled on, some of the scenes, you're like, how is this moving this story along? Like, one of the big things I would like to have seen was him really planning each, bank robbery out. You didn't really get to see that. Even the bank robberies themselves, it would last, I know it's supposed to last only a minute 40 seconds flat, but it did. It just felt
Like it really lasted a minute and 43 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't get to see any planning. You got to see kind of a little bit of a getaway. And Venkman's totally right. For me as well, the digital stuff that would just pop out, like, a lot of it felt like film, and then all of a sudden you'd see a scene, like, where just, like, with the way they're moving just felt so weird, and, like, you're on a movie set. The acting was great. Some of the dialogue was hard to understand because there'd be, like, you could hear, like, ambient noise, and all of a sudden you couldn't hear it, and then you could hear it. It was really strange.
Yeah, I don't know if the sound design was supposed to be like that, if, like, that was one of his, way of artistically making this film or something, but it just did not work. That sound was not a good choice, unless they just rushed it and didn't bother to, I mean,
the
a lot of...
The
main reason for me not, my biggest problem with the film was the technical aspect of it, how it was shot, sound, all that stuff. Had it, kind of been, a little bit put together a little bit better, I guess?
Well,
for me, I think it would have been better.
Yeah, well, I went through and I read some articles on some of the reasons he made the creative decisions he went for. He wanted to get that sharp, deep focus look you get out of Citizen Kane, and he went try to go for a documentary feel similar to 16mm, which is what they were originally going to shoot it in, but when they started getting back all their tests, and when they looked at the stuff, the nighttime stuff and some of the exteriors and things like that, you could see all the detail in the shadows, of which would normally just be black, or you could see all these details. Everything was visible, and it was sharp, and it was happening right in front of you. I will say it was distracting when you could tell it was digital. I think that movies that it works where you can't tell it's digital, and it adds that ability to see things at night or in the shadows, definitely a great benefit. But
I have a comment about this too.
Sure.
I think the problem with me so much was not the fact that it was digital, but the way he chose his shots and the way he composed his shots were
There's
in
a
style
lot of
that
you can't move.
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, it's like he composed a lot of his shots as you would with film, because you have to compose shots differently for different kinds of mediums that you use, because it just works differently. And the shots were not composed right for digital. They were composed for film, and I don't think he took that into account when he was shooting it. And that's why a lot of those shots are very obvious that it's digital, with the motion blur and just the way they move, just the way everything's moving in frame. So that's why for me, that's why I think it was such. That's how come you can totally tell it's.
Well, for I have to disagree with you on that because Collateral was freaking awesome, and that was shot digital too.
But he didn't shoot. I mean, those are two very different kinds of movies, though.
And I just think it was using the digital medium to just launch. Well,
for me, if the story was good enough, I wouldn't have cared how it was shot.
That's true.
Having heard a bit about the historical inaccuracies of the movie, the true events of what happened are actually way more interesting than how they architected some of the events.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watched the documentary on the History Channel, and that was more interesting than that movie was. It was watching, you know, the real footage and, you know, hearing the people talk about it and just telling the stories and stuff. That was more interesting.
Especially the Melvin Purvis stuff that they didn't really address in the Michael Mann film. Like, a lot of his personal demons and a lot of the real life story about that guy was very interesting and just kind of glanced over it.
Yeah, because just at the end they give you a little blurb about what happened. You're like, what? I didn't see that motivation to do that in his life at the end there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It makes sense because you never really, you just kind of saw his character around and that was it, you know?
Yeah.
But in the, you know, if you've seen the actual story of what happened, you understand that action a lot more.
So that is.
It wasn't a horrible movie. It just could have been done.
Okay, real quick. What movie are we talking about?
Public Enemy. I forgot. Okay. I forgot.
Up on screen. Oh, sorry there.
You guys are the man. You guys are all collectively the man. Individually, you're nothing. But collectively, you are all the man. I what? Go ahead.
I was saying, at the screening we were at, and like the screenings before, we went to a 10 o'clock screening, and the two 8 o'clock screens before sold out. The screening we went to sold out. And right as the theater went black, right after the trailers ended, you hear a lone guy go, "We love you, Johnny!" And I'm like, oh, that's exactly the whole reason everyone's in the seat. It's not because it's Michael Mann. It's not because of Christian Bale. It's not because of anyone else in this film. It's because it's the new Johnny Depp film. That's why everyone's in that theater. And like, I'm glad that guy was there to kind of remind me, like, oh, wait, okay, everyone's here to see Johnny Depp do his thing. So,
right.
Did he sound like he was like trying to be... I heard someone say, like, a cool... You're trying to do the cool Johnny Depp thing, but with a little bit of Elvis?
He always based his performances off of a musician.
Okay, so he was doing Elvis, right?
Probably, yeah. He's actually said that in many interviews, that he pretty much does almost all of his performances based off of some musician.
Or his own performance as a musician in Crybaby.
Ah, there you go. How did he? Who did he base Edward Scissorhands off of?
I don't know.
That was based off of my life.
That was off of.
I think that was T.I.
Yeah. It was T-Pain.
Edward Scissorhands. T.I. Yeah, T-Pain, something like that. That's a fair question. His character in Nightmare on Elm Street. What musician was that?
Otternod said. What's it? Robert Smith from The Cure.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
That's great. All right, there's your top three. We're moving on to number four: Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. Strong week three for them, $12.8 million in The Proposal. That movie is going to break the $100 million mark in the next 7 days. So congratulations. That's Bullock's biggest hit since Miss Congeniality, right? So good for her. It's Ryan Reynolds. It's his biggest hit since X-Men Wolverine.
No one will see it.
What? Say that again. Say that again.
I just said if Ryan Reynolds was not in it, that movie would not be as successful as it was.
Oh yeah. God.
Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock does not have the box office draw, people. Sandra Bullock. Have you seen it? Have the box office draw.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. So unless you're telling me that, unless you're telling me that Ryan Reynolds is just hilarious in it, I don't.
A lot of people went to see it just to see Sandra Bullock naked because she gets naked in that, from what I heard.
Nice.
Look, I'm sorry, but Sandra Bullock, 40 years old, naked. I don't want to be there. That's not a draw for me. I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
It is for a lot of guys.
I doubt it's like stuff you can see. I don't think.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't really know. But that's just what I.
To paraphrase the legendary Omar Epps from Scream 2, he said in this movie, "I don't want to see some Sandra Bullock crap unless she's naked." So apparently, it's true. If she's naked, guys want to go see it. Thank you, Mr. Epps, for once again showing us the way. But I have not seen this movie. The Proposal just stands at number 4, though. $12.8 million. Nice weekend. It's at $94.2 million right now. It's already doubled the budget. So big hit there from Buena Vista. Congratulations, Bullock. And I guess Ryan Reynolds. Now we're going to take you serious as a leading man, because we sure didn't in the comedy Just Friends, right? Right, Venkman? Don't give me that.
Tell me Ryan Reynolds is the big draw. Look, hello? Have you heard about Ryan Reynolds' next movie?
Does he get naked?
It's not just a lead role.
Yeah, he's the only role.
He's the only
person in the film. It is a one-man film. He is the guy. And it will be about 80 minutes of him buried alive in a coffin with a lighter, a cell phone, and like a knife or something like that. So it'll be 80 minutes of Ryan Reynolds in a coffin alone.
Well, when I think of all the actors that I know could pull that off, the first one that pops into mind is, of course, Zac Efron. And then Ryan Reynolds. Zac Efron, Abigail Breslin, and Ryan Reynolds. There you go. The first one, of course, is Tom Hanks. But putting Ryan Reynolds in a coffin for 80 minutes, good luck.
You know, the story is about him. He's in Afghanistan. He gets kidnapped, and he gets buried alive.
So are they going to show the kidnapping stuff?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like it, because in an interview he said that he's the only guy in the movie. So it doesn't sound like they're going to show anything.
That would make sense.
I was going to say, all the other characters are women.
I kind of want to see how big a budget this is going to have.
If they spend more than $12.68, it's too much. I'm sorry, people are not going to go see that. And I like Ryan Reynolds. I'm not going to watch him in a coffin for 8.
Look, it's an indie film.
Sure it is.
Listen, it's an indie film.
Indie as in it's
in New York, LA. Okay?
Good. That's good. That's great. They can go see it. The number five movie of the weekend. Number five was The Hangover, another $10 million weekend for this film. $204 million in 5 weeks. That is a comedy that is averaging $40 million a week.
Awesome.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's just unbelievable. The budget was $35 million. I don't know what to say. We've talked about it so much, and I don't know what else to say about a movie that I haven't even seen yet, but I clearly have more respect for this film than I can possibly muster for something like Transformers or Terminator Salvation. I've always felt that comedy is the hardest genre of film to do because people are so fickle. I mean, there are so many bad comedies out there, and so many movies that start off funny and then just get horrible, and so many comedies that have terrible stories, so you laugh a lot, but you feel guilty liking the movie because it's so stupid. And then you have some that are just good all the way around and funny. And I'm guessing that The Hangover is one of these films.
Yes.
It's, you got to go. Yes.
Thank you.
You got to get on this gravy train.
Sometimes I think there's like a really big delay between my microphone and yours, because I'll talk and then I'll stop and it'll be like quiet. Or maybe they're just like, look, we just want to make sure you're done, EMH. Okay, the Hangover, there's your top five. So Ice Age, Ice Age and Transformers, it's a duel. They're shooting it out. Right now, they're estimated a tie. And then Public Enemies, The Proposal, The Hangover. And Up, by the way, was number six with $6.6 million. Up, as we mentioned earlier, is now just $265 million in 6 weeks. Very impressive for the Pixar film. And other... Do what?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, to round out your top 10, in case you're interested, you have My Sister's Keeper, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, at 90th Museum, and Year One. I'm duking it out there for 10th place. They're in a tie, by the way, as well, at $2.1 million for the weekend. Not getting as much publicity as the Ice Age Transformers tie, but 90th Museum and Year One are duking it out. It should not be forgotten. Okay, so there's your top five. What I want to talk about, since it is the 5th of July, I know it's too late for most people, but I want to hear from you guys on what are the best movies to watch on the 4th of July. They don't have to necessarily be, you know, 4th of July themed or USA themed or whatever. Just movies you like to watch on the 4th of July, and tell me why. Go.
Well, you already know this answer. Does it have to be a movie?
What?
Or can it be the Twilight Zone Marathon that I watched all weekend?
If you want to talk about the Twilight Zone Marathon, go right ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, it's a great 4th of July tradition to watch the Twilight Zone Marathon on the Sci-Fi Channel. Or is it the City Channel?
Before the podcast, then... Venkman and I were talking about this. I love the Twilight Zone Marathon that the Sci-Fi Channel has, but I watch it on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. To me, that's when I'm in the mood for it. It's the new year, so let's get all weirded out, okay? On 4th of July, for me, it's not about that. Especially since so many of the Twilight Zone episodes had to do with, you know, the... just Armageddon and big wars and, you know, we're the last two people left on the planet and that sort of thing. So I don't like to think about that on the 4th of July.
That almost happened on the 4th of July. We were that close.
Thank you.
And Bill Pullman saved us.
Okay, so then really quickly, Venkman, top three Twilight Zone episodes of all time. Go.
Okay. Terror Over 20,000 Feet, William Shatner. I like all the William Shatner ones. I like the one, I can't remember the name of it. So, but it's the one where they go into the cafe shop and he's feeding pennies into the fortune telling machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to leave because he keeps, you know, telling him what to do. I like that one because
right.
He's like the superstitious guy.
He keeps telling him not to.
And I like the, why can't I remember the name? The monster, the kid. The little kid that wishes
see,
people
out like
to the cornfield.
The monster.
I don't like that one.
Yeah,
that's the same one
the
they
monster.
Use for the movie, right?
Yeah,
didn't they use
yeah.
that one for
but
the movie?
The original was so much better. But yeah, that one, that's just a creepy film. You know, you get this 10-year-old kid that just has the power to... you know, do whatever the hell he wants. And all the freaking adults are scared to death of this kid. You know, they have these fake smiles on their faces. And it's just a brilliant episode. Scary as hell, too.
But the uncle had the right idea trying to kill the kid. That was good.
Yeah, too bad no one helped him. He's like, someone please bash his head with a frying pan or something. He's
gonna kill me. I was gonna say, dude, come on. I mean, he you've got to kill that for kid. His
life. He's like, please, somebody kill him. and then he wishes him out to the cornfield. Or no, he turns him into a jack in the box. And then wishes him out into the cornfield. Sheesh.
Does anyone else have any... right. End those days. Does anyone else have any favorite Twilight Zone episodes? Nobody?
I like that classic one. I don't know what it's called, but the one where the guy's like the last guy on Earth and all he's like obsessed with reading.
Oh yeah, Burgess Meredith. That's to me. That's my number one episode. I love that one.
Yeah, I think that's just a total like slap in the face, kind of you're in hell kind of a thing, you know?
Yes. So. And that was the Twilight Zone was so good at that sort of thing. There's some really good episodes, and what I that's what I love about the marathon is you get to see the best episodes ever. But it always seems like there's one or two episodes I discover for the first time, and I really enjoy doing that. Again, I've said it before. I don't think the Twilight Zone. I mean, they've even tried to update it for this generation. I don't think the Twilight Zone could ever be popular today because that is a movie that depends on having a good, long attention span. You have to be invested in the payoff because very often you go 25, 26 minutes waiting for that last payoff. And when you got it at the end, every week you just had to decide, okay, was that worth it? So I was thinking about... watching the 2008 World Series of Poker on ESPN, and Ray Romano was in that tournament, and he was wearing a hat that said Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs. And that was a year ago. So maybe we were off on this whole less is more thing. Maybe it was just a sneaky advertising campaign of his
hat.
Hold on,
wait, I'm out.
Can you imagine how much free publicity if he would have won the World Series of Poker last year?
Oh, yeah.
That hat would be on ESPN all the time.
I'm sorry. I'm just so confused right now. Where did the conversation go?
I think that was the idea of Hinkman.
Yeah.
Because of the technical difficulties.
You don't let me in on the joke. What is that?
It's a Twilight Zone. We warped backwards after the technical difficulty because we were talking about Twilight Zone. And Dawn of the Dinosaurs, Ice Age.
Hey, remember that Twilight Zone episode where there's this old lady and she's getting tortured by this little space creature?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's called, isn't that called The Visitor? Or The Visitors?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah,
it's quite cruel, actually, until you find out what's actually happening. Even then, it's called pretty cruel.
Isn't that called The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock? No?
It was. That was based on this Twilight Zone episode called The Visitor.
I've got to say, Eye of the Beholder, is that the name of the episode? The one with the
No, doctors. That was the one with the... Yeah, the doctors.
Yeah, I like that one. I like, what's that one with the little kid is hearing all these, it's like the name of a street or something like that, Aliens Take Over something street, I forget the name of that one.
Oh, it's like a... Mulberry Street or something. Nightmare on Mulberry Street or something like that.
That's a really good one,
too. That's Elm Street, Bankman.
Yep, that's it. Dang it. It wasn't me! I didn't do it!
Next stop, Willoughby. Okay, sorry.
It was the kid! Kill the kid!
Do you remember the episode... Do you remember the Saturday Night Live sketch, though, They were doing a parody of that Twilight Zone episode where I think, wasn't it like Pamela Anderson who was getting the surgery done? And then when they took the bandages off, she was Pamela Anderson. They were all pig-faced doctors. And the nurses, the pig-faced nurses were screaming in horror. And the doctors were like, she is hot!
Yeah.
You're just jealous. That was awesome. That was funny stuff.
But her nose, it's so weird. No, but yeah, she's hot. Yeah, that's
she's hot. Okay, good. Good times. Okay, so Does anyone else, you can share a Twilight Zone episode or talk about what movies or television shows you like to watch on the 4th of July.
I had my turn, so go ahead.
I didn't get to watch any movies this 4th of July. I watched some Twilight Zone episodes with Mr. Venkman, or Dr. Venkman, I'm sorry. But
the doctor.
Yeah. Just you know what movie I really did want to watch, and it's kind of on the nose, but I wanted to watch Independence Day. Like, the whole time, because we went to the Rose Bowl to watch fireworks, the whole time I'm thinking of Bill Pullman's speech, Independence Day, I'm all, I gotta go watch that movie right now. But I couldn't.
Okay, but in all honesty, was it not a good speech, or was it just a cheesy speech? What do y'all think?
The good ones are cheesy. Right?
Yeah.
I think they have to be.
At the end of his speech, you almost want to hear him, or you expect him to say, "San Dimas High School football rules." You know?
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's what you expect him to hear him say, but no, it's supposed to be this rousing moment, but it's not.
I still, by the way, that's a great little reference because I still say that all the time. I'll be talking to my wife, and we'll be getting fired up about something, and I'll just say, "San Dimas High School football rules." And to me, that's like the biggest impact that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure had on my life was that phrase right there. Because I'm 32 and I still say it. But no, yeah, I remember Bill Pullman's speech. I thought that was pretty darn funny. And again, the whole idea of the President of the United States getting in the plane and fighting is, it's just not something you'd see happen too often. But neither is aliens trying to take over the world. So I guess it works out.
Well, you obviously don't live in California then.
Exactly. Aliens take over California all the time. It's great.
So what starts with me?
Venkman said it, so I don't know. He said, "You obviously haven't lived in California." Why did you say that, Venkman?
Because aliens are constantly trying to take over California. Haven't you been watching the news lately?
No.
All right.
The more news I watch, the less good stuff I see, right? Isn't that how it works?
Like, aliens trying to take over California. It's ridiculous.
You're talking, what kind of aliens are you talking about?
You know what? Like, I don't want to get into it. I can't talk about it right now because...
Oh, okay. So you were making more of a political statement than you were.
I honestly thought
you were doing a bit. I thought you were talking about outer space aliens. Okay.
I was talking about outer space aliens.
Oh. Well, you said you didn't want to get into it. And I'm like, okay.
Because it started...
This podcast just took a left turn.
Jordan was like, "Whoa, hold on, what are you talking about?" I'm like, "I'm not meaning to offend anybody. I'm just talking about like aliens." So,
okay, all right.
Just saying, because I am, my parents were alien, immigrants, the other kind of aliens. So I'm just wondering what you're talking about there. I'm just saying.
There you go, Venkman. You've got some splaining to do, okay?
I guess. I got some splaining to do.
If you're ready for another trip to the moon, let's go.
Try to take over California.
It won't allow the imagination free reign.
I was
going
to say, welcome to the podcast.
I'm not trying to offend anybody. I was talking about UFO aliens.
Venkman is using the podcast to...
It's a joke. It's political. Liver alone. Get it? It's a joke.
Look. I'm Murphy, and you're O'Brien, okay? You're O'Brien, and I'm Murphy. Let's just keep it that way. When we go to pick them up, call me Murphy and O'Brien. How's tricks, Murphy? Okay, so... For me, 4th of July movies, I kind of like, I've never watched it on the 4th of July, but I heard that some people like to watch Jaws on the 4th of July, because that was basically the first summer blockbuster movie in this country. A lot of it takes place on the beach, and of course it does turn into a man versus a common enemy kind of thing. You know, sharks, I guess they're a common enemy for some people. I don't know. That's a bad way to put it. Man versus beast, we'll put it that way. So I think Jaws would be a fun 4th of July movie to watch. What do you think? I'm trying to pick something different.
I watch Jaws like, you know...
is anyone in the chat saying what they do anyway on the 4th?
So I'm just saying Jaws is a great movie to watch anytime during the year. So
that's a good question. Mazer wants to know, is there anybody in the chat room that's talking about what they like to watch on the 4th of July?
Oh, we got a Red Dawn. Red Dawn is definitely a great movie to watch on the 4th of July.
Which they're doing a remake of.
Which they're doing a remake of, unfortunately.
Nice. Somebody likes watching Jaws on Christmas.
Heck yeah. Party. Who doesn't?
I want to party with you, pal.
Yeah, we got some Top Jaws. Gun. Short Max saying Top Gun.
We got some Top Guns. Hot Shots.
I can't remember the last time I saw Hot Shots or Hot Shots Part 2.
How about the original National Lampoon's Vacation? That is a summer comedy. That's a good one to watch.
Have you seen that reality show
Jacob's
coming out?
Jacob's Ladder.
The one where they all... That's Cripple Metal Jacob's Jacket. Ladder. You guys are really positive people. No, the show where they're in the motorhomes driving across country.
Yeah, and they keep playing that Vacation theme song. Holiday, oh.
Yes. I love that song. Every time I hear it, it makes me think about Chevy Chase and Christie Brinkley, and it's hilarious. I love it. Lindsay Buckingham or something.
We got Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure.
It's not Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure. It's Alandra D. I see you. It's Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Golly. No, I'm kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time. We're not that... We're geeks, but we're not mean geeks, right? No, don't be don't feel bad. See, in the chat room, for those of you just listening to the podcast, Steelers. Exactly.
Don't worry, Landry. We were trying to figure out names of prize on episodes we couldn't remember.
Just exactly. Like, yeah. We don't count off for spelling either. We're not sticklers. Anyway, so anyone else? I mean, well, I'm trying to think about what movies I saw playing this weekend. On cable that people might. Now, I tell you one that I did see. It was running on HBO or something. It was Apollo 13. And to me, that's an excellent, excellent movie to watch. Great feelings of patriotism come when I watch that movie. Again, still, in my opinion, humongous travesty that Apollo 13 did not win Best Picture when it was up against Braveheart. And you can all eat it.
Dude, there's no contest. Braveheart had to win, okay?
Why? Man. Tell me why.
It was a better movie.
It was a great, epic film.
It's not a better movie.
Golly,
one person as a warrior in a movie set at least 300 years ago, and they have to make inspirational speeches and fight battles, then there you go. It's a Best Picture winner. And again, that's not fair because Braveheart I thought was awesome and certainly deserving of the nomination. But when I watch Apollo 13, to me, all that was going on, all that happened in that movie, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, did they not go up in an airplane and basically shut the engine off and free fall and film while the plane was falling and then have to turn the engines back on, and they were able to film like in 90 seconds or 2 minutes at a time? Did I just make that up?
Well, yeah, that's correct, but they didn't turn the engines off.
They just dive.
But they did dive.
You know what?
Yeah, they dive, but they don't turn the engines off.
It is a
tedious. Why don't you try getting thousands of extras together, right, and recreating a battle in Scotland with giant swords, blood, choreography, fighting, clashing of titans, English and Scotsmen battling it out. That is a harder feat than putting four people in an airplane and flying up and down. Sorry.
No. There's a difference between flying
you know what?
Up
I'm
and
not
down
sorry.
And falling.
I'm not sorry.
There's a difference between flying up and down and falling and say, here, Mr. Hanks, here, Mr. Paxton, Mr. Bacon, we're just gonna fall straight down and you guys are gonna feel weightless. And by the way, we're also filming a movie at the same time. To me, Apollo 13 was robbed. And you know why I was robbed? Because, yes, someone mentioned Hank's fatigue, and somebody also mentioned that there was more recognizable and star-studded talent in the movie, and it was basically, you know, it kind of hurt it. It hurt it that there was so much great acting in the movie. They're like, oh, well, Apollo 13, look at that cast.
There's so much great acting, it hurt the movie. I don't think so, friend. I don't think
it hurt the movie. It hurt the movie's chances to win. More was less. Yes, you're right. More was less. Ed Harris, nominated for an Oscar, didn't win. Lost out to Kevin Spacey. Tom Hanks, not even nominated. Not saying he should have been, even, because I know the role was more of a, you know, it was more of a balanced cast, more of a balanced performance. But Hanks was not nominated. Certainly an incredible performance. You know, there was so much talent in that film. And to me, it was just, oh, but look at what Mel Gibson did in his you know, first big critically acclaimed directing debut. And, oh, look at the story. To me, that you have to admit, that's the kind of movie that the Academy just goes nuts for. Okay, there was to me, Gladiator was incredibly overrated, as was Russell Crowe's performance in that film. And yet still, Best Picture, Best Actor, because that's what we do at the Oscars. So,
well, we've talked about the fact that it was kind of his win for Gladiator was kind of a payback.
Makeup for the Insider.
Yeah, makeup for the Insider. Not winning for the Insider.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's very rare that you see someone win straight out. They've earned it over several other performances, usually.
Yeah, exactly.
And we could, and you know, obviously, when we get closer to next year's Academy Award nominations, we should discuss that because that gets on my nerves really bad. When you start giving it as a career award or makeup for this or makeup for that, but anyway, so does anyone else have any 4th of July stuff? I saw The Matrix was on over the weekend. I don't know. We should watch The Matrix over 4th of July weekend.
Okay. Separated from The Matrix.
Today I watched a couple DVDs. I watched Glory and I watched Poltergeist today. So I don't know.
I can see that.
That's what I did.
You bought those on 4th of July, so that kind of counts, right?
Yeah, I bought those on the 4th of July. And then I watched them today on Blu-ray. And they look great. And I'm happy.
Nice Glory on Blu-ray. That's a good transfer. Did a good job there.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was decent. Decent.
Okay. Good. Okay. Is everybody completely Michael Jackson out? Should I even not even bring his name up?
Yeah.
Again?
Let's
let sleeping dogs lie.
Let's let it go.
I'm kind of curious as to what he has to say about Michael Jackson.
Nothing.
I
know his funeral is on Tuesday, which again, that's like, man, you're dead for almost 2 weeks before the funeral. That seems, I mean, I know there was an autopsy, but that just seems like a lot. And now since he's died,
no.
Carl Malden.
No, <we're>
I know. We talked about Billy Mays. We did talk about Billy Mays last weekend because he died, you know, early enough for us to talk about it. But
and
now Carl Malden.
I can't help but laugh at the chat right now.
Yeah, stop.
Great.
Stop.
But Carl Malden's dead. Can are we all Carl Malden out right now? We don't want to talk about him. And then Steve McNair, which he's not an actor, I guess, so it doesn't matter to this audience.
That's kind of bizarre, though. I haven't heard any more about that, but my brother called me yesterday. He's all, dude, Steve McNair got shot. So that's kind of crazy.
Oh, let me tell you, down here in the South, I mean, he was a quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, and so a lot of people down here like Steve McNair. That's a big story. And it still is.
Exactly. I don't know the whole story on that. What's the deal with that?
All that's been revealed is the police have said it was a homicide. He was shot in the chest 4 times, and there was a woman found dead with him. And they're actually trying to determine right now if maybe it was a murder-suicide where the woman shot him and then shot herself, because they have not ruled her death.
This is exactly what I was talking about earlier about aliens.
Wait, earlier you were talking about aliens taking over California.
Well, it's not just California. Though.
Aliens are shooting football players. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's what it's come to.
What's come to? What are you talking about?
Aliens shooting football players. That's what it's come down to. See?
It has. Okay.
Yep. So, yeah. Alexander D. All the deaths are alien related. See?
Well, that's what I heard.
This is not me. I'm not. Yeah?
Great. That's not the best way to.
Here's something I'm gonna blow your mind with, Mr. Venkman. How do we know Alondra D isn't herself an alien? You tell me that.
Oh, hell.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that.
You just blew my mind. You just blew my mind. That's great. Okay, let's. But before we wrap things up here, first of all, does anybody have any topics they want to bring up? I've got a couple more things as far as what's coming out here in the next 2 weeks. But did anybody have any topics they wanted to address? No. Anyone? Anyone? Okay, we're back. All right. Well, if no one has anything else, I want to move on to what's coming out this week. All right, look, I'm just going to say it. I never saw Borat, and I'm going to tell you why I never saw Borat. There was something inside me that just said, act like an adult and don't see Borat, okay? I say that tongue-in-cheek because I've seen a lot of crap in my day, a lot of immature crap in my day, and I know a lot of adults saw Borat and laughed their heads off, so I'm being facetious, but the truth is, to this day, I still haven't seen Borat, and I honestly, I'm kind of curious, but I don't really want to. However, I don't really want to. I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen, I admit, he's apparently got some comedy genius inside him, but
here's what you do. Yeah. Don't go see Borat. Go watch the Ali G show, which is on DVD seasons 1 and 2, and to see him go, see different clips going from, each show had about, would kind of go through the gambit of his characters, would go through Ali G interviews, it would go through Bruno interviews, it would go through Borat interviews, and to not recognize him going from all three things, that you really appreciate it, and it's in small doses, where you're not an hour and a half, or 2 hours watching this one character. So, rent those or see those.
Okay. I think I can do that.
Good.
Well, I mean, that being said, I think that with all of the hype of Bruno, I mean, I don't see this. I mean, I think this movie's going to make $135, $150 million, maybe more, right? I mean, look at what Borat did. I mean, think about it. It was kind of like I use Austin Powers as the measuring stick, and here's why. Not because the two movies are related, but Austin Powers was a risky, kind of weird idea, and it was one of the surprise hits of 1997. Came out, not a whole lot of hype, but a little bit of buzz, and he had the whole Saturday Night Live thing going for him, so there was a lot of free publicity and that sort of thing. But then when the second one came out, after the success of the first one and the hype that have followed, of course, every time you see a trailer for Bruno, you hear the word Borat, and or the name Borat, and now I just think that with Borat making as much money as it did, Bruno's just gonna make all sorts of money, right?
I, I think it's gonna be huge hit.
Of money.
I hope it's a huge
hit. It's gonna make a lot of money. It is.
But I mean, okay, but put a number. I mean, do you think 150 million?
No, I don't think I'll make. I don't think I'll make that much.
No, total domestic like gross.
I'm like, wow, that's total, crazy.
Total domestic.
I think it'll make under 100. I'm gonna go with under 100.
I'll say even above 150 million.
Really?
I think so. How did Borat do? Total domestic.
Let me just point this out. I'm looking at some of the old Borat numbers. Borat came out in November and was still a real big mystery as to what the heck it was. And Borat opened at $18.6 million in November, and it played on less than 1,000 screens. Wow. Bruno is going to come out right in the summer when people are spending more box office dollars. I guarantee, I mean, it's got to open on more than 2,000 screens. I just think it's, I don't see how this doesn't make $100 million.
Yeah, they're opening on over 2,700 screens.
There you go. So, I mean, closer to 3,000 screens. And by the way, Borat totaled out at $128.5 million.
I have to, in the chat, DroyMac brings in an interesting thing that I have to agree with. He says, I don't think Bruno is going to do as well as Borat simply because this time the character is gay, and I think he might be right.
That's a good point, but I don't know. I think the hype machine behind this is so much bigger that I think it'll inevitably do.
I was going to say, Borat, think about it. Borat had almost no real publicity. I mean, there was some. I mean, I know, you know, Borat appeared, the character appeared at the opening of Saturday Night Live, like the week it came out or the weekend before it came out. But again, I can't stress enough how now we think about Borat and we think, yeah, we heard all about it, but we heard so much about it after it came out and after it made what it made. I just think Bruno has had such a marketing machine behind it, the controversial trailer, the appearance at the MTV Movie Awards, and the whole fake thing with Eminem, and now apparently he's doing these little things he's doing these little publicity stunts at places around the world as the character, you know, Bruno, just to get build up, just to get the hype machine going. Plus, look at the competition. This weekend, Bruno, the other movie released, I Love You, Beth Cooper, starring Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah.
Panettiere.
Thank you. So, I mean, really, Bruno is the only big-time release. I mean, yeah, I Love You, Beth Cooper. I mean, it's directed by Chris Columbus, which actually, according to the trailer, for its genre, looks watchable. But I just think Bruno's going to make at least $30 million opening weekend, and I don't see how this movie doesn't make over $100 million. But I appreciate Venkman for disagreeing with me.
And in you know, I have to.
Well, somebody's got to.
Yeah.
But see, I'm already, I can't even focus on Bruno because I'm so excited for what comes out the next week. I'm talking about, of course, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yep.
So excited for that movie. It's so weird because it's one of the few times I ever see a movie coming out and I can say, oh yeah, I read that book. And the fact that I know how it ends, and I know, you know, what goes on. Not only do I know how this movie ends, I know how the whole series ends, like most of the other people that probably see it. And still, that does not diminish the excitement I have to see it. So, I can't wait. I think it's going to make so much money.
I think they do such a good job of making it good for the fans of the books and people like me who've not read a single thing.
Do you think it's going to make more than Transformers?
Yeah,
I said it at the beginning of the summer, and I've got to stick to it now. I'm not going back. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, I think it appeals to a wider audience. I know it's a dark... there's some darkness in the movie, but, you know...
I hope it does. I want it to. I hope it does.
Yeah, I think had Transformers not had all the missteps it had in that film, it would have probably been number one, but it can't be. Not anymore.
Nice.
I've heard rumblings on the net from people that have seen Half-Blood Prince. There's a couple of reviews out there that are saying that this movie is Oscar material, and now that they have 10 nominations, they're saying that this Harry Potter film could possibly be nominated. They said it was that good.
Nice.
That's exciting.
Kenneth Smith is bringing up 500 Days of Summer. Are we getting close enough where we can talk about 500 Days of Summer?
We can. It's coming out July 17th, but it is going to be a limited release. So I don't know.
It's amazing.
Don't know how wide of a release it's going to be, but yeah, go ahead. You guys have seen it, right?
It's the best movie of the year.
I've seen it. Twice already.
The release, though.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get closer to it. But I've seen it twice already. I've enjoyed the hell out of it both times, and I can't wait to see it again. The movie is awesome.
Yeah, we got me and Mr. Black got to interview the actors and director and the writers, and just how the understanding of all the characters that everyone has, that the whole cast and the whole, you know, the people behind it have those characters and those things. It's amazing, and they offered some really cool insights that we'll get to post up on the site.
You got to interview some of the actors.
Yeah, we interviewed the two stars, the director, and the two guys who wrote it. And the movie is almost based off of something that actually happened to the lead writer.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get to that sooner, and we'll get those things posted up. But yeah, you guys are just so many.
You got to interview Zooey Deschanel
and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It was sort of kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
that is freaking cool. Because if I got to interview Zooey Deschanel, I would have asked her about the movie Eulogy, because I thought that was hilarious.
I agree. Yes. You actually turned me on to that movie.
I did. It's
I watch it all the time now. When I'm bored, I'll stick it in and watch it because it's damn funny.
If you guys have never seen the movie Eulogy, it's one of those little indie comedies. It is not even really a dark comedy or anything. It just, you know, wasn't a big movie, but it's got an all-star cast and it's absolutely hilarious. And Zooey Deschanel is one of the main characters.
She's brilliant in it, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt is amazing in it as well.
And if I could interview him, you know what I'd ask him about?
Cobra Commander, yeah, you know.
Angels in the Outfield, that his gripping performance with Tony Danza and Danny Glover in Angels in the Outfield. It was heartwarming. It was heartwarming. But
just for the record, Zooey Deschanel is way more attractive in real life than she is on screen.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say she was way more attractive than Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That too.
And you could have said, so, hey, Zooey, I know that you were in Elf with Will Ferrell, and that was great, but let's talk about The Happening. What was going on there?
It wasn't happening.
Let's talk about that.
The Happening didn't happen. Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
And you know, does Mark Wahlberg really talk like that? That's what you should have said. That was our big question.
But 500 days.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. 500 days of summer.
Well, generally these kind of movies are not my cup of tea. You know, I'm more into like the general nerd movies like sci-fi and horror and stuff, but I will say that 500 Days of Summer is the best movie I have seen all year.
Wow. Yeah. That's high praise.
That is high praise, because I've seen some amazing movies this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some amazing movies that have come out this year, which I'm very proud, which I'm not proud of, but I'm very glad for, and 500 Days is my favorite movie all year.
Well, let me tell you, if 500 Days of Summer doesn't do really well in the big markets, it may not even come
to a theater near me. Don't you hate that? I always hate that, though, when I see those commercials for movies on TV and they say, now playing in a theater near you. And it's not playing in a theater near me. That ticks me off. That really gets me mad. Sorry
about that. You know.
Sorry. I just had to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, so remember, people, in a couple of weeks when 500 Days for Summer comes out and everybody's raving about how great it is, remember, you heard it here first. And you can hear it here second, too, if you download us on iTunes and hear it again. Which, that was pretty cool for me to see that the Geek Tyrant podcast is on iTunes now, right? Do we want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a delay this week, but we're going to be getting those out probably sometime during Monday. All edited up, technical difficulties out, all the extra stuff at the end and the beginning that's kind of maybe not interesting. It's going to be out.
So. What are you talking about, dude? This little, what's it? Backpedaling of we have nothing to talk about is genius. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I was feeling pretty good about myself. I told my mother a couple hours ago. I said, "Mom, the podcast that I do, we're on iTunes now." I said, "That's pretty cool." And she's like, "Okay, what's that mean?" I said, "You know, iTunes." She said, "I know what iTunes are." I said, "Yeah, well, the podcast is on it." Okay, well, what do you get? I said nothing. We're on iTunes. And by the end of the conversation, I felt like, yeah, big deal, iTunes. That sucks. I guess your parents have a way of putting things in perspective for you. When you're a kid, everything's wonderful. You're dreaming, and you're excited, and they nurture that enthusiasm. They fuel it, help it grow. Now it's like, oh, good, iTunes. That's great. Can you pay your bills with iTunes? Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. But there, that's a little peek into my family. I'm kidding. I love my mother very much. So, nothing left. I got nothing left. I'm spent, as we like to say sometimes. Just keep your eyes posted to geektyrant.com and look for whether or not Transformers was able to hang on to the top spot, or did Ice Age beat it out. And all that good stuff. So that's it. Anyone else got anything?
I'm good.
This is it.
Hey, check us out on
Thank
Twitter.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Hey, everyone.
Check
us
out where? Twitter?
So we hope you come back. You know, come back and hang out. It's fun. Right?
Join us next week for the podcast.
Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific.
Well, you know, around 8 p.m. It's like around like
8-ish.
8:15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are your staple, but not really. We're more like gum tack, because you can remove it a little easier than a staple. Okay. All right. That's it. So long, everybody. We'll see you.
See you.
Good night.